Low Vision, a Guide. Track 1, Introduction. Welcome to the Macular Disease Foundation Australia's audio presentation titled Low Vision, a Guide. This presentation is current as at November 2014. Please use this guide in conjunction with the Foundation's series of audio guides on low vision. All audio materials are available free of charge from the Foundation as a CD and are available on the Foundation's website. This audio presentation comprises 8 tracks. Track 1, Introduction. Track 2, What is low vision? Track 3, Common causes of low vision. Track 4, The initial hurdles of vision loss. Track 5, Moving forward with vision loss. Track 6, Low vision tips. Track 7, Adopting coping strategies and dealing with depression. Track 8, Conclusion. For CD listeners, you can move to the next track at any time by selecting the Next Track button on your player. People with low vision do face challenges and may have to make difficult choices regardless of the age at which they lose sight. Attitude, perseverance, and the ability to seek help and support have enabled many people to fulfill their aspirations and maintain quality of life and independence in their work, home, and social settings. This guide can be used to help achieve these goals. Track 2. What is low vision? A person is said to have low vision when their eyesight is limited or impaired and cannot be adequately corrected with surgery, conventional glasses, or contact lenses. Low vision can affect people of all ages and impact many aspects of their life, both at home and in the workplace. It may cause problems with reading, using the computer, dialing the telephone, watching TV, daily living activities such as cooking, and getting out and about. Low vision is often a loss of sharpness or acuity. It may also present as a loss of field of vision, light sensitivity, distorted vision, or a loss of contrast. Low vision is measured by distance visual acuity. Visual acuity is determined by measuring the smallest size print that a person can read. When a person has normal vision, their visual acuity is rated 66 or 20/20. This rating indicates the person can read the letters on an eye chart, which is designed to be seen at a distance of 6 meters or 20 feet away. As vision deteriorates, fewer lines on the eye chart can be seen clearly and the second number in the visual acuity measure increases, for example, 6/18. Low vision is defined as 6/18 and legal blindness as 6/60. The primary causes of vision loss are eye disease and health conditions. Learning how to make the best use of remaining vision and learning how to adapt to the new circumstance can certainly help achieve good outcomes. Accessing low vision services is essential to help the individual and their family, carers, and friends to cope with and understand the challenges of low vision. Track 3, Common causes of low vision. The most common causes of low vision in Western countries are macular degeneration, glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, retinitis pigmentosa, and cataract. These eye diseases affect vision in different ways, and this will vary from person to person. Firstly, we'll describe macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is Australia's leading cause of blindness and severe vision loss. The disease causes progressive damage to the central part of the retina known as the macula and results in central vision loss. The most common form of macular degeneration is age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Macular degeneration affects one in every seven Australians over the age of 50, and the incidence increases with age. There are two forms of this disease, dry macular degeneration and wet macular degeneration. Dry macular degeneration is the most common and results in gradual loss of central vision. Wet macular degeneration is characterized by a sudden loss of vision and is caused by abnormal blood vessels growing into the retina. Now let's look at glaucoma. Glaucoma is the name given to a group of eye diseases in which the optic nerve at the back of the eye is slowly destroyed. Typically, this damage occurs when the clear fluid produced in the eye is unable to drain. The fluid becomes blocked, causing increased pressure. In other cases, glaucoma can be caused by poor blood supply to the nerve fibers, a weakness in the optic nerve, or a problem in the health of the nerve fibers. Glaucoma affects vision gradually, starting with the peripheral or side vision. People can have glaucoma and be completely unaware of it. There is usually no pain, nor are there any early warning signs associated with the most common form of the disease. Early detection is critical because any sight lost is irreversible. Diabetic retinopathy is the most common cause of vision loss in working age people and is common in people who have diabetes. This is a condition in which changes occur in the tiny blood vessels that nourish the retina. In the early stages of diabetic retinopathy, small blood vessels weaken and leak fluid or tiny amounts of blood, which distort the retina. In the more advanced stage, blood vessels in the retina are blocked or close completely and areas of the retina die. It is very important, it is critical in fact, for anyone who has diabetes to have ongoing regular eye tests. Retinitis pigmentosa. Retinitis pigmentosa is a hereditary disorder which is degenerative. It is often first characterized by night blindness, followed by a loss of peripheral vision. Retinitis pigmentosa can eventually lead to total blindness. The eye disease is one of many retinal dystrophies and the leading cause of youth blindness in Australia. It is second only to diabetes as a cause of blindness for people in their 20s and 30s. In most cases, this disease is hereditary. However, in some instances, there is a gene mutation that leads to the disease when there is no family history. Finally, let's take a look at cataracts. A cataract is a clouding of the normally clear and transparent lens of the eye. When a cataract develops, the lens becomes cloudy, like a frosted window, and light cannot be properly focused on the retina. This results in an unclear image. Cataracts can be removed by surgery. The decision to have surgery is dependent on consultation and discussion between the eye specialist and the person with the cataracts. For more information on these conditions, please refer to the Foundation's other detailed publications or contact the Foundation on 1800 111 709. Track 4, the initial hurdles of vision loss. It can be confusing and upsetting when diagnosed with an eye disease and dealing with vision loss. In these situations, it is sometimes difficult to remember what has been said by the doctor, ophthalmologist, or optometrist during a consultation. Some tips to assist you include: ask a friend or family member to come along to the consultation and ask them to take notes for you. Ask the eye care professional to write down instructions. Request further information in printed format. Ring a relevant support service such as the Macular Disease Foundation Australia. Telephone the eye care professional after the consultation if there is any doubt about what has been said. When first diagnosed with an eye disease resulting in vision loss, people can experience very different feelings of disbelief, apprehension, and even anxiety and depression. In the first instance, it is important to do these things. 1. Avoid making any quick decisions regarding current employment, activities, future plans, or your lifestyle. 2. Seek advice from all available sources. The Foundation's helpline is available to advise on appropriate services. 3. Remain engaged with social and recreational networks, especially when recently diagnosed. This is a time when networks may be at greater risk of breaking down. 4. Take a deep breath, then take time to calmly sort out the path that will lead to the best outcomes. If, after diagnosis, there is any sign of withdrawal, anxiety or depression, it is important to immediately seek help from your general practitioner. Going forward, a person who has recently been diagnosed with an eye disease or who is experiencing vision loss may find it helpful to do these things. Talk through the diagnosis with friends and family. Keep active. Learn new skills and adapt old ones to new circumstances. Give friends hints about how they can be of practical assistance. Maintain your existing social activities and seek support from peers and friends. Explore new options for friends and fun, and link with peer support groups. Track 5, moving forward with vision loss. Moving forward starts with taking control of the situation. The more a person knows about their condition, its effects, and options for dealing with the challenges presented by low vision, the less helpless they will feel. A good start is talking to eye care professionals about individual concerns and needs. People with vision loss have different eye diseases or conditions with varying effects. Therefore, it is important to pursue what is available in the form of rehabilitation and other support services, aids and equipment that will cater to individual requirements. There are 4 key areas to consider when dealing with vision loss, and they are: firstly, low vision assessments. Secondly, low vision aids and technologies. Third, orientation and mobility training. And fourthly, ensuring access to ongoing support. Let's start with the low vision assessment. A complete low vision assessment is essential to find the best aid or strategy for individual needs. Advice will be provided about possible aids and appliances, using magnification and lighting to assist with activities like reading, writing, and recreation. This will help to realize maximum vision potential. A low vision assessment is a great way to get started and regain control. low vision assessments can be done at various places, low vision clinics, major hospitals, and sometimes with optometrists. The assessment also will determine what other assistance may be appropriate. For example, counselling, occupational therapy, home or office modifications, and so on. Low vision assessments are provided by low vision organisations, and as mentioned, some optometrists also offer this service. However, it's best to check before making an appointment. The foundation can assist with locating an appropriate service provider for a low vision assessment. Now let's look at low vision aids and technologies. We've already identified that people who have recently lost vision often need to regain a sense of control. One important way to do this is through accessing devices that help maintain independence. There are many practical aids and appliances that can assist with daily tasks such as cooking at home, reading labels in supermarkets, dining out, and filling in forms. Examples of aids include coin sorters, talking clocks, magnifiers, pocket-sized telescopes, electronic note-takers, and adjustable lamps. Technology for those with low vision is changing rapidly, and there are now many devices and software applications. Learning how to use some of the technology available for those with low vision can open up a whole world of possibilities. Technology can assist with a huge variety of things, including, but certainly not limited to, reading, using the internet, and getting out and about. Don't be afraid to try new technology. It is generally easier than you think. Just some examples of technology for low vision include electronic magnification units, commonly called CCTVs. These are simple to use and can enlarge text or photos onto a screen with a very high level of magnification. Audiobooks and newspapers are accessible via a range of devices, and document reads can read aloud any typed text. Finally, computer software, both free and paid, provide a wide range of assistance and modifications for computer users in the home and the workplace. Aids and technologies are available from a variety of sources, including low vision organizations, private providers, and others. For more information, contact the Foundation for a copy of Low Vision Aids and Technology, a Guide, or call the Foundation's helpline for advice and support on 1-800-111-709. Now let's review orientation and mobility training. The aim of orientation and mobility training is to regain or enhance independent mobility. Orientation and mobility training helps those with low vision to move around safely, confidently, and independently, whether in the home, the office, or when out and about. A common scenario for orientation and mobility training is that someone with low vision wishes to feel confident to independently travel to work, out and about to the shops, to visit friends, to visit relatives, to do everyday activities. The instructor would work with the client to ensure they are familiar with the route, teach them how to cross the road safely, to catch the bus, the train, to get to where they need to go in a safe and independent way. And finally, accessing ongoing support. It's important to remember that accessing ongoing help and support can help to maintain quality of life and independence. Keep in mind that your needs may change over time. If you were to have further vision loss, you would have to consider having another low vision assessment and seeking different aids to support your independence and quality of life. Low vision support groups can be a valuable means of support. They provide a friendly environment in which to share personal experiences with people facing similar situations. The Foundation's helpline is a good start when seeking guidance on a range of assistance, and we can discuss a pathway and develop a plan for accessing services and support. Track 6, Low Vision Tips. There is a huge range of advice, training, aids and support to assist those with low vision. Low vision assessments and services are a valuable source of help. Here are just some ideas. As a basic starting point, think bigger, bolder, brighter for everything that you do. Bigger, bolder, brighter. Let's start with bigger. One of the most important aids is a good magnifier. There's quite a skill in matching the best magnifier to a person's individual needs, and this is an important part of the low vision assessment. Making do with a magnifier from the discount shop is not ideal and can just lead to frustration. Magnification via technology is also available, including simple-to-use electronic magnifiers and also special low vision software. Bigger can also be in the form of a whole range of everyday items, including telephones, watches, calendars, and playing cards. Now let's look at bolder. Contrast is the key element. Consider these simple everyday tips. Place white plates on dark placemats. Use both a dark and a light chopping board depending on the colour of what you are cutting. For example, cut an onion on a dark board. Use a thick felt pen instead of a ballpoint pen. Marking objects with tactile dots or paint is also useful. For example, place raised tactile dots on commonly used buttons on appliances such as the radio, the microwave, or the washing machine. Now let's look at brighter. Good lighting is very important. Additional lighting for doing specific tasks can make a huge difference. For example, a gooseneck lamp that can be directed onto reading material or needlework. These can also come with a built-in magnifier. Direct lighting from behind will reduce glare, and make sure the home is well lit, particularly areas of high activity such as stairs, kitchen, and bathroom. Let's look at some practical tips for around the house. To make stairs easier to see, place a contrasting and non-slip strip on the front edge of each step. Place a chair near the front door so that when entering from the bright sunlight, you can take the time to wait for your eyes to adjust to the inside lighting. Place items such as keys and wallet in the same place every time. This can avoid a great deal of frustration. Use rubber bands to easily differentiate between items such as shampoo and conditioner or salt and pepper grinders. Use a head torch to delve into dark cupboards and wardrobes. When taking a bath, place a brightly coloured sponge in the bath, as this will easily identify the water height. Squeeze toothpaste onto your finger and place it into your mouth and then start that brushing. And here are some things to think about when out and about. Carry a magnifier or small torch to read labels, price tags, elevator buttons or directions. Use a white cane if required. Some can fold up into a bag when not in use. Carry a signature card to help sign documents. And separate paper money into different sections of your wallet and use a coin sorter. Tell the bus driver which stop you require and ask them to wait until you are seating before they start driving. Again, a low vision organisation can assist you with a whole range of low vision tips and aids. And swapping advice and ideas at a low vision support group can be a great source of information and support. Once again, the foundation can assist and guide you in all of these areas. Track 7, adopting coping strategies and dealing with anxiety and depression. There are a number of strategies that can be adopted to help overcome the challenges of low vision. Let's review some of them now. Firstly, Stay positive and set realistic goals. Secondly, actively learn new skills and feel empowered through accomplishment. Thirdly, keep things in perspective. Fourthly, accept limitations and don't be too demanding on yourself. Fifthly, actively seek support from others. And finally, adopt a can-do attitude. When we talk about eye disease and vision loss, it is important to also talk about anxiety and depression. This can occur when a person has a newly diagnosed disease. In fact, studies on those diagnosed with macular degeneration show that they do experience depression at the same rate as people with cancer and heart disease. So early detection of any anxiety or depression is very important. Depression is more than just a low mood. It is a serious illness. People with depression can find it hard to function every day. It can have a serious effect on physical and mental health. It is, however, important to understand the difference between feeling depressed and just feeling sad. A person may be depressed if for more than 2 weeks or so they have felt sad, down, or miserable most of the time, or lost all interest or pleasure in most of their usual activities, and they have experienced negative changes in 3 or more of the following areas: their behaviours, feelings, thoughts, or physical well-being. A person who feels depressed may stop going out and withdraw from close family and friends, and they may no longer want to do the things they enjoy. Perhaps they no longer get things done at work because they can't concentrate or rely on alcohol and sedatives to get them through. A person who is depressed may experience a shift in their feelings. They may feel overwhelmed, guilty, irritable, or frustrated. They may no longer have confidence, and they may feel unhappy, indecisive, disappointed, or miserable. Unwelcome and unhelpful thoughts may cross their mind. They may find themselves thinking, "I'm a failure. Nothing good ever happens to me. Life's not worth living, or it's my fault." It is important to realize that everyone experiences some or all of these symptoms from time to time. But when symptoms are severe and lasting, professional help is essential. Different types of depression require different types of treatment. For example, physical exercise can prevent and treat mild depression. However, for more severe depression, psychological treatment and drug treatment may be necessary. Community support can also play an important role in treating depression. If you or someone you care about could be experiencing anxiety or depression, there are some important steps to take. First and foremost, anxiety and depression must be recognized in order to be treated. An appropriate assessment by your general practitioner or a health professional is essential. Both personal and professional carers are an invaluable source of information about personality or cognitive changes in a person. They should be included in discussions where possible. In an emergency, please contact Lifeline on 131114 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636. 1300 224 636. Remember, help is available. Don't hesitate to seek that help, to talk to your GP, to tell them of your concerns. It is so important to make sure that you care for yourself. What can family, friends, and carers do if concerned about someone possibly having anxiety or depression? Firstly, suggest the person sees a doctor or health professional. Secondly, offer practical support by assisting the person to make an appointment and either provide or arrange transport. Thirdly, offer assistance at the person's home. Fourthly, If someone has been prescribed antidepressant medication, encourage the person to continue taking as directed and assist them to discuss the treatment with their doctor. If the person complains of side effects from medication, encourage them to discuss this with their doctor. And as always, be supportive, understanding, and patient. Track 8, Conclusion. Thank you for listening to the Low Vision Guide. It is one in a series of audio presentations available from the Macular Disease Foundation Australia. Also available in this audio series are presentations on avoiding slips, trips and falls, all about low vision aids and technologies, and thirdly, assisting family, friends and carers of people with low vision. Additionally, there are audio guides on a range of macular diseases and nutrition and supplements for macular degeneration. The Foundation produces an annual research update, translated publications, and a quarterly newsletter that are also available in audio format. All audio guides and written publications are available on the Foundation's website, www.mdfoundation.com.au, or can be ordered on CD free of charge by calling the Foundation on the toll-free helpline 1-800-111-709, 1-800-111-709. This audio guide is a free service provided by the Macular Disease Foundation Australia. The Foundation is a national charity that relies upon donations and the generous support of the community to provide its services and fund its programs, including investment in research. If you would like to make a donation to the Foundation, please ring 1-800-111-709, or a donation can be made online through our website, www.mdfoundation.com.au. Disclaimer: information contained in this presentation is considered by the Macular Disease Foundation Australia to be accurate at the time of recording. While every care has been taken in its preparation, medical advice should always be sought from a doctor. The Macular Disease Foundation Australia cannot be liable for any error or omission in this presentation or for damages arising from its supply, performance or use, and makes no warranty of any kind, either expressed or implied, in relation to this presentation.